All right, we're going to get started. I have introduced other people, so I feel like I'm equipped to introduce myself. Hi, I'm Jeremy. I'm not going to say anything else about myself because I know too many stories. Thanks for hanging around. End of the day. I just told my brother that I'm glad I'm speaking because I'm starting to feel lunch. And I was like, if I was listening to somebody else, I would be struggling to stay awake. So if I doze off, Kyle, just keep on going. Our topic, I can't even remember what it's officially labeled as. Disconnect the dangers of virtual living. Yeah, so I work in youth ministry, and it is not uncommon for me to get to see firsthand the way that technology is affecting young people in our world. I think the first time I remember it like really standing out to me that I am not living in a world that I grew up in. We had gone on a retreat with some of our high schoolers, and we went up and we were staying near Tahlequah, Oklahoma, and the cabin that we stayed at had no service. I mean, none. And I am watching these high school girls walk up and down the road like this, trying to get service so that they could keep their snap streak alive. Some of you are like, I don't even know what that means. I didn't either till that day. Trying to send a picture every single day through Snapchat. It means a lot to them. I don't know. I don't have the app, so I don't know the emotional connection to it. But I remember watching that and thinking, we need to have a class. Which then transformed into a 13-week class that I taught for the adults and for our youth group. It's funny how you start working on some material because somebody really needs this. And by the time I was all finished with it, I had just beat myself up so badly. And I was like, wow, this is for me. So all of that to say, we're going to talk about some things in connection with technology. And I just hope you know that the person's toes that will be stepped on the most is right here. I did write a book after I finished up those classes. As I was encouraged by some of the leadership at North MacArthur. They said, you need to put that in a book because there's just not a lot out there right now within the church that deals with this subject. I am not anti-technology. You might see my phone and think I'm anti-technology. I just am clumsy and have children, and they have nothing to do with the reason my phone's broken. I just kicked it down the sidewalk. But I thought if I could blame it on them, great. I'm not anti-technology. This is not a class on why I think we shouldn't use technology. However, I think that living in the time that we live in, more than ever, Satan has opportunities to work into our lives. I am under the belief that there aren't new sins. Satan just uses new ways to get us to fall into those same sins. And so, you know, Jack and Chris just spent some time talking about pornography. Lust is not a new sin. I mean, we can trace it all the way back to Bible times. But are there new ways that we can fall into that trap? Absolutely. And so I don't want us to become the kind of people that say, that's not going to be me. I use my technology only in good ways. Because I think sometimes, even when we don't realize it, just like was my case, it is a struggle for us, and we don't really know it until we step back. And so this time, we're going to spend some time talking about when do I know that I need to disconnect? And it's important for us to talk about what I mean by disconnect. I'm not saying get rid of your phones. We have an elder who, to this day, just has a flip phone. He says, I don't want to deal with the challenges and everything that come with a smartphone. In fact, he got a smartphone. I think he had it for 2 days, and he went back to the flip phone. He's like, no, not doing that. I think it was less about the challenges, like that, the sinful challenges, more just he doesn't know how to make a phone call, so he said, hey, I need to just go back to the flip phone. I'm not saying, look, hey, we're all ditch technology. Let's move into some caves and just get back to Bible times. But I think that Scripture is pretty clear on a couple areas when it comes to sin. This is a passage from Matthew chapter 5, verses 29 through 30. This is talking this is right after Jesus specifically is talking about lust, but I think the application is true in lots of areas of life. It says, if your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you, for it's better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you, for it's better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. This is an extreme verse. Now, you maybe have heard it so many times that you're like, well, he's being figurative and he's... Can you just imagine sitting there for the first time and hearing Jesus say this and you're like, that seems a little extreme. Tear my eye out? Cut my hand off? And yes, Jesus is being figurative, but I think there are some people who the idea of pulling out their actual eye seems more reasonable than ditching technology in their life. Like, I'll lose a hand before I got to lose my phone. Or, you know, you want me to get rid of Netflix? No, thanks. I'll do the whole pull my eye out thing, but I need my Netflix. I think as extreme as this is, there are people who think, no, I can't do that. Jesus' point is this. If there is something in your life that is getting in the way of you being who Christ wants you to be, it's got to go. It has to go. Now, can we do some things to hopefully change our behaviors so we don't have to ditch it altogether? Yes, absolutely. But at the end of the day, we as Christians need to be able to say, if it comes down to it and it has to go, then that's fine. That's what it takes. And so just a couple of things. This is what it may mean for you to disconnect. It may mean setting better boundaries. At first, I had this as setting boundaries. I put setting better boundaries because hopefully we all have boundaries that we've already set for ourselves. And we'll talk more about some of these at the end after we circle back to it. But for you, disconnecting may just be, look, I gotta set better boundaries for myself. Boundaries as far as content goes, what I look at, and then boundaries as far as how much time you're using. Technology is not just a danger because of what we can see or what we can use our technology to do. It's also a danger because of how much time we invest in it. And we'll spend some more time talking about that too. But maybe for you, disconnecting just means I got to set some better boundaries for myself. It may mean taking a break. I mean, we don't talk a whole lot about fasting in the church. But for you, maybe the best thing for you is to say, I'm just going to take a couple weeks off. My brother Daniel started the year. He said he was going to do a one-month social media fast. And here we are, you know, almost through with August, and he still hasn't used social media. And for him, he realized, wow, I actually really like this. I like being off social media. Not that he's sworn it off forever, but he said, hey, I just want to take a step away from it. And for him, it was a really good thing. My wife, same way, started the year, she's like, I'm just going to spend a month off of Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And I think she gets on Facebook to look at pictures of our kids that are posted by her teacher at school, which I let that slide because they're cute. But she's not on Instagram and Twitter this year. And again, it's not necessarily, it didn't stem from great struggles, but sometimes it's good for us to just remind ourselves that I can go a season of life without those things. And so that may be what it means for you to take a break. To disconnect is to take a break. But it may come down to this. And I know, I mean, especially when I stand in a room full of high school students and tell them that a time could come in their life where they say, I need to get away. I cannot have a smartphone. They'll roll their eyes at me. Because for them, they grew up in a world where you just have it. I don't know about you. I can remember a time where I did not have a cell phone. Those were the days. It was great. Guess what? If someone wanted to get a hold of you and you didn't want them to, they couldn't. It was great. Until I was a sophomore in college, and there was a pretty girl on campus that actually enjoyed spending time with me for some reason and was getting tired of calling and leaving messages on my room phone. Then I was like, okay, I'll get a phone. It's been all downhill since then. But, I mean, the relationship, not. That's the great. Relationship's great. Technology. She's back there, so. Most of us can remember a time where we did not use it. And so maybe you can still think back on those as, you know, the glory days. Or for you, it's like, how did I get by without it? But there are a lot of people in our culture who don't remember it. Because more and more kids are being introduced to it at a younger and younger age. I got a letter from a guy from India this past week who was talking about this subject. And he says, even kids over in India kids who are struggling financially. It says 12 years old. These kids are running around with smartphones. They don't have shoes on their feet. They got smartphones. This is not just an American problem. This is a worldwide problem. And so when you tell a person, hey, it may mean stepping away from technology, say what? But don't you think that's kind of the response that that Jesus got when he said, look, if your left eye causes you to stumble, take it out. If your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's an extreme concept, but the idea is there should be nothing in our life that keeps us from being who God wants us to be. And so, yeah, if your solution ends up being, I got to step away for good, I'm going to move back to a flip phone, you can survive on a flip phone. You're just going to have to go back to printing off directions. I think they still print maps. I think so. I think my grandparents have one. They travel with it, so you can find a way. All right? So we'll come back to these and explain some ways I think that you can do these in a practical way. But first, let's spend some time talking about how do I know, as an individual, when it is time for me to disconnect. Number one is when it becomes an idol. Idolatry is one of those subjects that either seems foreign to us, like this is something that people over in other cultures deal with. They have idols. We don't have idols. Or maybe it was a problem like long time ago. Sure, the Israelites, they deal with idolatry. We don't deal with idolatry. If you go look around my house, you're not going to find little figurines. You will find a John Elway figurine. That is the only one. And he's broken now because kids. But he's still the best quarterback ever, even broken. Sorry, not based on facts, obviously, just heart. Guys, I am seeing more and more the effects of technology becoming an idol for people in their life. And you may not feel that way. You may not, I don't see how that's, but I want you to listen how Deuteronomy chapter 4 explains idolatry. It says, and beware not to lift up your eyes to heaven and see the sun and the moon and the stars, all the host of heaven, and be drawn away and worship them and serve them. Those which the Lord your God has allotted to all the peoples under the whole heaven. So the problem is they're looking and they're seeing things that were created and they are being drawn away from God to worship and serve them. No, you're not getting your smartphone out, setting it up on Sunday mornings, having the worship service to your smartphone. But are there people who on Sunday mornings are focused on their smartphones instead of worship to God? Absolutely. And then they tell me, I'm using the Bible app. And I'm like, why are you swiping so fast? Oh, it's a game. I gotcha. That just is the high school class at church. But to be drawn away. So if there's something in your life that is drawing you away from God, drawing you away in your relationship from God, that's idolatry. That's what it is. And so how do you know if it's an idol? How do you know? Okay, here's some questions you can ask. Number one is, do you become anxious when you can't use it? You may not think you do. Test it. I'm going to tell a lot of stories on myself because, as I said, this is one of those subjects where I'm like, people need to hear this. And then I finished. I'm like, I needed to hear this. There was one evening where Carrie and I were going to go over to my in-law's house. They live 7 minutes up the road. Okay. I left my phone inside. We haven't even made it out of the neighborhood. And I realized, and I said, Carrie, I left my phone at home. And she's like, so? I'm like, maybe you misunderstood what I said. I left my phone at home. We're not at home, so my phone's not with me. This is the same guy who didn't want to get a phone until he had to get a phone. And I was like, what am I going to do at the in-laws? That sounds really bad. Wow, maybe talk to the in-laws. They're great people. But at that moment, I realized, wow, I have a problem because I can't even spend 2 hours away from my phone without feeling anxious. I don't know why I feel anxious. I don't know why I feel like if a text message comes in, I have to respond to it right away. And guess what? I got back to the house a few hours later and I look at the phone. You know how many missed text messages I had? Zero. No missed phone calls. It's like, well, maybe I lost service while I was gone for some. I'm sure they were coming in. So you need to test it. Take a night. Spend an evening, or you just take all your devices and you put them in the other room and just see how it makes you feel. Now, some of you may be like, no problem. I love that. I do it already. Good. That's a good thing. Some of you, you're going to be like me. You're just going to, I mean, do you remember when we used to just stand in line? I don't even remember what it was like. What do I do when I stand in line? You just stood in line. Now, anywhere I go, oh, there's a few people in front of me. Get my phone out, right? I'll check Twitter real quick. I'll, you know, play Minesweeper. Yeah, that's my current. It's Minesweeper. What is this, 1980? But it's because we just don't know what to do when we have free time anymore. So standing in line is weird. Where I like, look at people? Hello? Why is he looking at me? Because he's not looking at his phone. If you become anxious when you can't use it, that is probably a sign that it matters to you more than it should. I mean, it is a sign. Secondly, how much time do you spend using it? Now, thankfully, because of technology, we can actually know like exactly how much time you're spending on it. Most smartphones even send you reports. Because God has a sense of humor, you know when mine comes in? Sunday morning when Bible class is starting. So I stand up in front of the group and it's, and they're like, how long? Because they know, this guy wrote a book called Disconnect. Oh, it didn't send it this week. It's humiliating every week. I was like, I got a lot of business calls this week. That's probably why it's up. How much time? Most of you can get on your smartphone right now. You can, don't get on your smartphone, not right now, Kyle. Busted. There's settings where you can go and you can find out not just how much time you spend on your device, how much time you're spending on specific apps. And I'm just telling you, don't do it here because you're going to start crying. It's embarrassing. For some of us, if we looked at how long we were spending on certain apps, you're going to be embarrassed. You're going to say, I spend how much time on Facebook? Or I spend how much time playing this game? I mentioned Minesweeper jokingly. There was a day, summer's been busy. I work in youth ministry, lots of stuff's been going on. I also have kids. So moments where I just get to sit and do nothing and turn my brain off don't happen very often. And for some reason, I like to play the game Minesweeper. I'm in a weird phase. And one day, Carrie, being such a wonderful wife, said, I want you to check and look and see how much time you've been playing Minesweeper today. I don't want to say the number of hours. Guys, but when you do that, like you don't, I was just playing 5 minutes here, or I was just on Twitter for 5 minutes here, and then 5 minutes here, and then 5 minutes here, and then by the end of the day, you look, and that's a lot of time. And it's unbelievable to me how often we make excuses for things like Bible study and prayer and time with family because I don't have enough time. And then we pour so much time into our technology. How much time do you spend using it? I don't know. I don't have a chart that you can look and see. I spent this much time. Yep, it's an idol. I don't know. That's not my job to judge you and your life where that is. I get it. Some of us use it for work. Some of us really are using it for, you know, business calls or because we're talking on the phone with family. I get all that. But if we're honest with ourselves, most of us know when we use it too much. And if you don't know, give it to someone in your life who loves you a lot and ask them because they'll be honest with you. Because my wife will. I'll say, Carrie, you look at those numbers. And I can just tell by the look on her face, too much time. Okay? And we'll come back. There's actually another question that I think you can ask to help with this, but it's we're going to come back and talk about it in a second. So number one, how do you know when to disconnect? If it's become an idol for you, it's time to do something about it in your life, all right? It's time to at least, like we said, maybe set some better boundaries, spend some time away, but do something to fix that. What time do we get out of here? I need to make sure I'm not... Okay, I thought it was 3:30, and I was like, folks, we're not going to make it. Number two, when it begins hurting our relationships, you may be like, look, I don't spend that much time on it, or I'm not like really struggling in that it makes me anxious. What about how it affects your relationships? Now, technology is great in that in some ways it can help build relationships. I mean, I can connect with people when I couldn't before. I have a great friend who just spent 5 years serving as a missionary in Brazil. I mean, there was a time where our conversations with each other would have had to been handwritten letters back and forth. But because of the time we live in, I could text him. And I could still talk with them on FaceTime and things. So yeah, it helps with some of that. But here's what's happening, is we are beginning to forfeit the relationships of the people right here in our life for relationships out here. And we're like, what are you talking about? I'm not building up relationships. Look how many Facebook friends I connected with today. And I'm like, who is this guy again? Okay, you remember that time we were at Brahms and there was two people and I was like, I think we went to school together. Okay, it's her brother's son. Oh, but see, I connected with him today. Right, but what about the people that are sitting in the room with you? Oh, there were people sitting in the room with me? I didn't even see. I mean, what about your family? What about your immediate connections? Too many times we're sacrificing those relationships because we're building out here and we feel like, oh, look, I'm so good at making these connections, all these friendships, and the people in our life are like, hey, but I'm not getting any of that attention. I'm not getting any of that time. And so sometimes we are so connected to our device that it starts hurting those relationships. I love you, Mom. You know that, right? Okay, I'm going to tell a story about my mom real quick. And I'm only doing that because I can tell lots of stories on myself and Will. There was a day we were driving. I used to live up in Colorado. I actually got to work for a little while at the same church that my dad was working at. And so for lunch, we'd often go out, and my mom would come with us. And so there's a day where I'm driving, and my dad is in the front seat, and my mom is in the back seat. And they were both looking at their phone. I don't mind. I'm like, I'm Uber before Uber was cool. So I'm just driving, except you don't get paid, I just realized. So I'm driving to lunch, and they're both looking, and I'm, you know, focused on the road. And my dad says, listen to this thing, this funny thing. He sees something funny on Facebook, and he reads this joke. And I give him a little laugh. I'm not kidding. No sooner had the last word from my dad's joke come out of his mouth than my mom looks up and goes, oh, this is funny. Listen to this. You know where it's coming, right? She then read the exact same joke. And I just had something happen to me. Mom and my dad, of course, snaps out of his coma, and he's like, I said, Mom, you know, Dad just read that. Read what? That joke. Okay, it's funny. Part of the reason it's funny is because I think we've all been there at some point. I can't tell you how often I hear my wife speaking to me, but I don't hear my wife. You know what I mean? Where I'm looking at my phone and Carol says, and I catch like two words, and then I attempt to answer what I thought she said, and you know what she says? You didn't hear me, did you? Shoot, I guess wrong. To the laundry girls. Yeah, I did the girls' laundry. You didn't hear me, did you? No, I didn't. Because for some reason, when we're looking at our device, we are transported to a different place. You are taken away. And sure, I'm connected with somebody. There's somebody on the other side of this. Maybe it's a friend. I'm really bad. I have a group of friends that I grew up with. We like to text a lot. And it's great because I like staying connected with those guys. But sometimes we spend way too long arguing about whether the Nuggets are going to be competitive this year. And they are. thank you, Kyle. And Kyle is on this group chat, so confess. But I'll just say, like, yes, I'm connected. But my wife is sitting right here in the room with me. Not connected with her. And so when it gets to a point in your life where those immediate relationships start to be negatively impacted because we're building relationships with those outside of our immediate sphere of influence, then it's time to take a step away and say, look, I got to disconnect a little bit. I'm going to be held accountable to this because now my wife is in the room. But I decided last week that going into this next week, one thing I want to do is when I come home from work, mostly because my phone's broken so the battery doesn't last very long anyway, I'm going to come in, I'm going to go to my bedroom, and I'm going to plug my phone in and leave it in there because I haven't seen my kids all day. So I'm going to spend some time with my kids. I'm going to spend some time talking with my wife. And when I go to bed, if I need to check something, I can, and then I'm going to go to bed. There's no reason I can't do that. I am going to have a really hard time with that. I'm just going to tell you that. And now my wife knows, so I can't even change my mind unless she's on her phone. Can you hear me? Yeah, she heard. Because there are too many moments that I'm missing with my kids, too many opportunities to talk with my wife where I'm missing out. And that's hurting that relationship. And I don't want to hurt those relationships. And so that might be a time when it's time for us to step back. Think of as you read through the scripture, how important it is to God to show us his presence in our life. You think of the Israelites. I mean, he didn't just say, I'm with you. I mean, if you look up, if you're in the Israelites' camp and you look, you see his presence. You can see this cloud. You know he's present. Even as you work into the New Testament, I mean, he tells us, he's giving us the Holy Spirit. He is always present in our life. I mean, part of that is because he wants us to understand the importance of being present in the lives of the people that you are in a relationship with. And I'm not just saying physically present, because as I just told on myself, you can be physically present and still be hundreds of miles away. So take that into consideration when it might be a time to disconnect. Finally, and this should seem like a, well, duh, but I don't think it is. I mean, when you sit and hear Jack and Chris talk about some of the struggles with pornography, for a lot of people, they're trying to deal with all these problems, and sometimes what they need to do is just step away from the things that are enabling them to use it frequently. Now, again, that doesn't make sin go away. But if this is causing you to sin, it's time to step away from it. Now, does that mean, oh, I put my phone away, now I'm never going to struggle with temptation? No. But in the same way, growing up, when I had friends in school that my mom did not like me to be around because I didn't act the way I was supposed to when I was with those friends, don't spend time with those friends. Not that I am immediately a better person, but I don't want things in my life that are going to cause me to be the person that I don't want to be. And so when it leads to sinful behavior, absolutely, that's a time to disconnect. And this is actually the third question when it comes to knowing if something's an idol in your life. Is it lead to sin? Because if it leads to sin, that's what an idol is. It is something that draws you away from God. So here's just a list. I mean, and you could add to it. These are moving slowly. I mean, you look at those things. These are different areas that not just I think, but like studies have proven the phone, smartphones and tablets and computers have made these sins easier in our life or manifest themselves in new ways. Discontent. You don't think there are people who spend time on social media looking at the lives of other people and saying, man, see, if that were my life, man, everything would be better. There was a quote that I heard from a denominational preacher that was talking on this. Man, it's such a perfect quote. He says, there are so many people who are comparing their behind the scenes with everyone else's highlight reels. Because what people are doing is they are sharing the very best on social media. Nobody gets out of bed looking like this and is like, ooh, we got to share that with the world today. That's why I don't take selfies. And also, there would be a crack down the middle of my face. What do you want? You want to clean up, make sure the light is right. I sat behind a girl on a flight. It was a 2-hour-long flight, and I am not exaggerating. For an hour and a half of that flight, she spent that time touching up one picture of herself. She added some shading, take it away, fix the light and the color of her eyes a little bit, zoom in super. Why? Because we want to share the very, very best. We want people to think we've got it all put together. So how silly is it then for me to look at other people's lives and be like, oh, I wish that was mine. Because you know why they're posting that? They want you to think they've got everything put together. But in the meantime, their house was also a wreck, and their kids are also pulling their hair out. And they're also having struggles in their job or in their marriage. But we don't see those things because for the most part, people aren't very transparent online. And I don't think that's really the place for it. I mean, transparency is something that should be done, you know, in a place like a one-on-one setting. And so I get it. I'm not saying, hey, I'm going to start coming home and taking a picture of my living room as it stands when my kids are done with it. Be like, here's my house. Hope you all love it. Like, yeah, get your life together, man. But discontent is a real problem. Jealousy, same thing. I see these things people post. My mom finally left the room, so I can say this. My mom spent the week in Disney World. It's easy for me to be like, wow, you're in Disney World. I'm here in Oklahoma, sweating. You guys live it up. It looks great. Laziness. It is so easy now to just pull out your phone and do something else. I could be working. Could be working on a sermon. Could be working on an upcoming Bible class. Could be spending time with my kids. But it's just so much easier to, you know, scroll through Facebook. It's just so much easier to play. I should stop saying Minesweeper. I know there are more current games, but this is my childhood game. It's like Minesweeper or Solitaire. Which one am I going to download? Minesweeper. And I'm not very good at it, apparently. I'm still playing it. Impurity. I mean, I don't need to hit on this too much if you sat in on Jack and Chris's sessions, but I mean, there are unbelievable ways to experience impurity. And I'm not just talking about pornography. I'm talking about the music that we listen to. The shows, man, so many times I hear kids in my youth group, they don't know that I can hear them when I drive the church van. They think I can't hear him, so he can't hear me. Well, that's because I'm facing the front. I hear everything. And they'll say, oh yeah, I'm watching such and such on Netflix. And I'm like, I know what that is. I can't believe you're watching that. Carrie said today, I think this was my wife. Wow, I've talked to a lot of people today. But she said there is now a movie on Netflix that is, I mean, it's basically pornography. And that's not like you have to have a special account. That's not that is log on to Netflix, click play, and it's playing. And so I'm not just saying, you know, stay away from those really bad sites. With the music you listen to, the shows that you watch, I mean, impurity is everywhere. Even the advertisements that you see on social media. So many times I have to hide an advertisement or even a post from another friend on Facebook that I'm like, yikes. I like to stay connected with people that I went to high school with because I feel like it's a great way to, you know, share good things that the church is doing. But there are times I'm like, I can't see that. I can't be looking at that. It makes it easier. Apathy. And what I mean by apathy is we see the struggles of our world so frequently now that we just become desensitized to it. I grew up in Colorado, and so I can still remember when Columbine happened, the Columbine shooting, and that sense of like, how could this happen? This is in our own backyard. Like, how is this possible? I'm embarrassed by the fact that now when I hear about a shooting, I'm like, yeah, that's really rough. And by the end of the day, it's not even on my mind anymore. Yes, part of that is because it's become more prevalent. It happens more often. Part of it is, though, because it's always in front of us. I'm always on social media, so I'm constantly hearing about wars and fights and disease and natural disasters so often that now when I hear about them, I'm like, yeah, bummer. Anyways, or I just type a little thoughts and prayers, and then I move on with my life instead of, you know, feeling the compassion that we're meant to feel. Vanity, I mean, yes, half the reason I don't take selfies is because, I mean, you can see. I don't need to go into detail. You get it. But also, I asked this to my high school class. I said, what are the reasons you would take a selfie? And, I mean, they gave some good and honest answers. But, because the reason you would take a picture of yourself and share it is because you want people to see what you look like, right? Now, I did have one kid who said, to see if my hair is fixed. And I was like, okay, I appreciate that. That's an interesting, I take a picture? Yeah. Or do I have something in my teeth? Yes. No, share that then, though. Yeah, I did, by the way. I had Instagram. I had something in my teeth. Here's the picture. Okay. I mean, I really wrestle with this. No, I'm not condemning you if you've ever posted a selfie. Please don't walk away from this thinking that. But you better ask yourself, why am I sharing this? Is it so I can build myself up and feel better about the way I look? Or, and I just look really good. I got to show this off. That's vanity. That's being vain. And again, it's easier to do that. And when you, before technology, if you looked good and nobody's around, you're like, well, doggone it, I wasted this today. I'm going to have to try and do this again tomorrow. Just being unkind. You know who the meanest people are on Facebook? I hate to step on toes, but it's church-going people. And they're being mean to each other. I see so often people who will start their comment by like, I don't want to offend, but, and then I'm going to say something incredibly offensive. That it doesn't work that way. What you're supposed to say is something really offensive, and you say, and bless their heart. Then it's okay. That's the only way. But man, I hear people who preach about the love of Christ and being an example and showing love. And by the way, so-and-so, and just tears into somebody. People see that. Like when you get into an argument about something silly or even something important and you start smashing the other person in the argument, you know who sees that? Anybody who's friends with you. And I don't have statistics because you don't keep track on statistics like this, but I would be interested how many non-Christians have been turned away from faith in Christ because they see people in the church behaving that way and they're like, I do not need to be a part of that. They talk about the peace of Christ. That doesn't look like peace. No thanks. Fear. Man, we just sit in front of the news. We watch the news. And all we're fed is this paranoia of, oh, our world's ending. This is the end. Oh, look how bad everything is. You should be afraid. Instead of trusting God, putting our trust in Him, instead of in politics or in, you know, certain individuals, just trusting God. But, man, did you hear what the news said? I have someone very close to me in my life. I'm not going to say who they are, but every time I talk to this person, they're talking about something they've heard on the news that is just terrible, and I don't know how we're going to get through this. God, we'll be all right. Okay? Is there bad stuff? Yeah. But we're not called to be people who live in fear. God's in control. And gossip, I put that up there as well because I think there are people who use social media and they don't call it gossip. They call it venting, or they call it, I don't know what they call it. That's gossip. I don't care if you don't say the person's name, that's gossip, right? I think in Twitter for a while it's called subtweeting. High schoolers will tweet about a person, but they won't say who the person is, so it's okay, right? But everybody knows who the person is. I'm like, you really thought you'd get away with that when you said that in math class? You are an idiot. And everyone's like, I was in math class. Who said? Oh, that was Kyle that said that. And you're the teacher, man. But I'm like, oh, I didn't say his name. That's gossip. How often people will say, like, I'm not going to name names or specifics, but I just want to explain this. And I'm not even part of the conversation. I'm like, oh, I know who you're talking about. I know who you're talking about. So you didn't have to name names. I know who you're talking about, and what you're doing is gossip. It's wrong. Okay, this list could have been a lot longer. And every one of us, maybe we struggle with it in different ways, but the point is, if you are at a point in your life where your technology is offering more challenges for you than benefits, because certainly there are benefits, and I don't want to I'm glad that Brandon Edwards had two sessions on the positive uses of technology, because I don't want you thinking that I'm just anti-technology, let's kick the phones to the curb, even though I literally kicked my phone to the curb while I was running. That's why it's broken. I'm not. There are awesome things that we can do with technology. There are incredible ways that we can use it. But like all of the great blessings that God gives us, when we abuse those blessings, it's dangerous. And so if your device is leading to these things, it's time to disconnect. All right? So going back to these three things, you have to decide what level of disconnecting is important for you. Maybe you're going to set some better boundaries. I decided a few months ago I was spending too much time on social media. And so I found out that you could set limits for yourself on social media or certain apps. The problem is when your time is up, it pops up and says, you have spent all your time on social media for the day. That's not the exact wording. But then it says on the bottom, request more time. And if I click that, it says for 15 minutes or for the rest of the day. Weep. Rest of the day. Well, it asks for a code. Well, who picks the code? Oh, the code. Oh, that code. So I told my wife, Carrie, I know me. when that pops up, I'm just going to click 15 more minutes because I'm going to feel like I'm not going all day. It's just 15 more minutes, even though I've hit it 30 times. And so I told Carrie, I need you to pick a code. You can't tell me what the code is. If there's like an emergency, and I'm trying to think of an emergency where I would have to check Facebook, the president comes, it's the end of the world and we're only going to be able to put our reports on Facebook. All right, Carrie, I need the code. I don't know. Because now when it's like, hey, 15 more minutes, put that code in. And I told Carrie, don't give it to me. I don't want it. You don't have to do that. But I needed a better boundary. I don't need to be on it. And so for some of you, this is going to seem like too short. Some of you are like, how are you spending that much? I set a limit for 1 hour on social media each day. I know. Some of you are like, that's a lot. Some of you are like, just an hour. I don't know, wherever you stand, judge me in a different way. That's fine. I don't hit that limit every day, but when I do, that's it. Like that's the end of it. So set some better boundaries for yourself. Like I said, it may be a time thing. It may be content. You may say, I can't spend time on that app because that app is making, like Jack and Chris mentioned, Instagram. If Instagram is causing temptations, delete it. If Facebook is causing you only bitterness toward people, anger. I mean, there was a time where I could not use Facebook because I always got off mad at somebody. Either because of something they said that I thought was offensive or something that they said that disagreed with me or just because they're using Facebook in a way that I don't like to use Facebook. I'm like, why would you share that? Nobody wants to see your cat. I'm like, why? And I don't want to be angry at silly things. And so for me, I just got to spend some time not doing that. Set some better boundaries. You should always have boundaries. I mean, a lot of the stuff that Chris and Jack talked about, the software and things that you can put on your phone, are not just good protection for you, but it's completely necessary for your family. I mean, if you've got kids that are growing up in your home, they're going to be on a device. That is the culture that we live in now. You can protect them from that for a while, but eventually your children are going to use technology. Shelter them as long as you want, but someday they're going into the real world and they're going to either be on a computer or on a tablet, and you need to have boundaries set up for them. But you may have to set up some better boundaries. You may need to say, hey, I had a boundary here, but I need to move it a little bit closer. Maybe you need to take a break, spend some time away from it, or again, maybe you do get to that point where, as extreme as it is, you say, it's not worth it anymore. I'm not using technology for any of the benefits, and so I don't need a smartphone. I can have a flip phone. Or you say, I'm going to, ban this social media on my computer. I'm just not going to be able to use it. I'm stepping away for good because I cannot use that. Whatever it is, don't be the person that says, I can beat this. I'll just keep trying and I'll beat it. Just disconnect. Just disconnect from it. I did write a book on this. Not because I'm an expert. As you can tell, like, this is still something I struggle with a lot. But I feel like this is such an important topic that since I had the material, I was like, I want other people, if they can, to benefit from this. And so I have some books out there that go into depth on some of these subjects and the way that technology not only is affecting us in those things, but also some good practical things that we can do to protect ourselves. I'd be more than happy to talk with you about it. But you don't need my book if you don't want to have my book. God's given us a pretty good book too. They just didn't have smartphones back then, so you're not going to find iPhone in there. But the principles we're talking about are the same principles that God talked about. The same principles that Jesus shared when he says, look, if your right eye causes you to stumble, pull it out. Take it away. Because it's better for me to enter heaven without ever having touched an iPhone than to say, well, I had an iPhone at least. Right? Nobody thinks that way. I need to still convince some of my high schoolers of that. Like, heaven or an iPhone. Like, this should be an easy decision. I know, it is. But I just need to think about it one more second. Heaven or an iPhone? Okay. Heaven. It's hard. I get it. And that's because of the culture we live in. But if it's time to disconnect, do it. Thanks so much for hanging around. I think we have one more session that's in here, but take 15 minutes, stretch your legs a little bit. Appreciate you being here.